This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
The TalkSport Fan Network is proudly supported by McDelivery, bringing you the food you love. McDelivery brings a top-tier lineup of food right to your door. No matter the result, you'll always be winning with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app and you'll get rewards points delivered too, so that ordering today means some tasty rewards for tomorrow. Only via app at participating restaurants. 18 plus rewards registration required. Points only on menu items, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
It will be 12 games that he misses. He's out on the grass loading the injury, so he's on his way back, but this game will be too soon for him. He starts training with the actual group, which will be tomorrow, so it's too soon to put him in against Manchester United. As I've said many times, we want him back as soon as possible, but we've got to do it right as well. We obviously had a spike in his loading last time, and we had a reaction, so we have to make sure that we're very conservative with our approach this time with it. And you know, he's itching to get back, we're itching to get him back, but we're led by the medical staff.
Welcome to the My Old Man Said podcast. I'm David Michael, the editor of MyOldManSaid.com, and your host for Something for the Weekend. Joining me to discuss the Villa week to bring us up to speed, Mr. Chris Budd.
Hello,
welcome
mate.
Back.
How you doing?
All good. Looking forward to the big enemy coming to Villa Park
at the
weekend.
The real rival.
Manchester United. Also looking forward to the boxing as well. Billy J. Saunders versus Canella. Which more intriguing than people perhaps think. If you are new to the podcast, this is our just catch up for the weekend. The main show, actually, it's a pretty good one. The last show is 146. So if you haven't listened to that, get your ears around it before Sunday's game against United. So the idea of Something for the Weekend is to have a look at the press conference and, as prescribed, catch up on anything before we go into Villa's weekend. We always like to start proceedings off with a Villa Minute. Which is the Villa week in 60 seconds. I'll just pick up the old stopwatch. Are you ready?
I am ready.
3, 2, 1, go.
Villa begin Operation Premier League top half at Goodison Park. Q, best performance of 2021. Watkins sets the tone with the opener after forcing a defensive error, while Barkley turns up to the party. With chances flowing at both ends and the score 1-1, El Ghoulzi makes it 8 goals in 12 starts as he wins the game for Villa with a beauty straight off the training ground. Prince William visits Bodymore Heath, using the excuse of opening the new High Performance Centre to get a few selfies with the players and submit his ballot for Chelsea tickets for the last game of the season. Super Jack wins Football Writers Midlands Player of the Season, although the upcoming Manchester United game will be his 12th consecutive game that he's missed. Meanwhile, the club offers Villa Park to UEFA as a possible Champions League venue as Chelsea face off with Manchester City for the battle of the Super League self-proclaimed giants.
50 seconds.
Wow. Lean and mean.
You've got like 10 seconds to do whatever you want in there, Mr. Bird. Do you need the toilet?
Frankly, mate, that gives us 10 seconds to get loaded. Let's get loaded.
Well, there's something interesting. Aston Villa, I think that they hosted a UEFA Cup final, did they not?
Cup Winners' Cup, wasn't it?
Cup Winners' Cup.
Lazio, yeah. Mallorca, it was.
That is correct. I don't like the idea of Aston Villa hosting a Champions League final between Chelsea and Manchester City. I mean, it's bad enough awarding Norwich City the championship when we're in the championship at Villa Park. You're here, you're faced with the possibility of Chelsea winning that potentially their second Champions League, which takes them one above Villa, European Cups. So that's not a good look on your own ground. And then also, it's a chance to introduce at Villa Park, Manchester City, into the elite membership of English teams that have won the European Cup. Which,
yeah, not a fan.
It's a no-win situation. I mean, okay, brilliant, you know, Villa Park, good marketing, you know, centre stage, but it cuts.
Especially Man City.
Yeah.
You know, you want to see the greats of Europe playing at your stadium, don't you? You don't mind if it's Juve, Real Madrid or Barcelona, Milan or something, but this just stinks of Charity Shield.
It does, actually. I mean, I don't watch much Champions League. I got bored of it when everybody's played each other 100 times already. These ties have lost their gloss. The irony is we've had this thing about the Super League and it all kicked up a furore, but Europe just looks weak now, doesn't it?
The Spanish league's falling on its arse, and Italy went a long time ago, didn't it?
Yeah, because you have cycles where, you know, you get German teams playing each other in the final, you get Spanish teams playing in the final, but this is not vintage Chelsea, is it?
Not at all.
So it kind of shows you the lack of depth.
It's almost like a bit of a European opportunism on their part. I mean, fair play, you know, Tuchel's clearly knocked him into shape. You can't argue that. But at the same time, you think traditionally they wouldn't have got past maybe the quarterfinals.
Yeah. Right. Anyway, let's move on to Villa Matters. It was a press conference today before the Manchester United game. Pretty much more of the same, really. In terms of Grealish, Dean Smith said on Grealish, he's out on the grass. Oh, that's one sentence I hate already. Loading the injury. He loves that word, loaded.
He loves a bit of loaded, doesn't he?
Just what is it that you want to do?
Well, we want to be free. We want to be free to do what we want to do. And we want to get loaded.
Yeah! Loading the injury, he's on his way back, but this game will be too soon. He will start training with the group tomorrow. I'm not even going to speculate on what game will be the next game.
Fuck knows at this point, to be honest.
People are saying probably not Everton, more likely Palace. But when you're ready, Jack, we'll look forward to you arriving back. The only other real injury news Smith added was Morgan Sanson is still unavailable, but he'll be back in training next week as well. So I think it's good for like the likes of Sanson and Wesley to get some game time in before the end of the season, just to really extend their pre-season, because they're two players that really need games to give Smith some kind of idea of what they can do going forward next season.
Mm-hmm.
And then a bit of time spent talking about Al Golzi and his season so far in this press conference. Smith said he's gone on goal scoring streaks this season rather than last season. He'll be the first to admit that his performances have been a little bit inconsistent, and we're trying to find that consistency with him. December, he scored 5 goals and had a great period in that time. He then became a bit more inconsistent, and he's come back again now, just when we need him. Really pleased for him, and it will do his confidence the world of good. I think, you know, he is a confidence player.
100%. We saw that in the Championship, didn't we, and at points last season. He's clearly got it in him.
Yeah, but also, as we've said, he is, as the other guys are, Trezeguet and Traore, very much purple patch players.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's very rare to get back-to-back games out of them where they put in like a 7 or 8 out of 10 performance.
Mm-hmm.
And that would be a start. If you could get in any of these guys giving it, 3 or 4 games, it does elevate our team
massively.
Hugely. Because, for example, when Grealish has been out, the wide men are up. There's more headroom for improvement with them. And that suddenly makes the whole show, you know, the whole look of the team more dynamic and gives Watkins much needed support.
I think so. We've said it so many nights, it's bloody Groundhog Day, ain't it? When we've said you need your big players to step up in the absence of Grealish. And the last couple, to be fair, a few have with Barkley, El Ghazi, etc. So you just hope that they can, you know, finish the season strongly. I think Smith said yet again that, you know, my teams traditionally finish well. You know, if we do, then I think we'll end up probably where we want to be. But we've got, you know, a hard run of games, and they're going to need to hit a level of consistency, at a reasonably good level now.
Yeah, I mean, that was the revelation almost of the Everton performance, and certainly the result was, you know, you're looking at that remaining fixtures and you're thinking, I can't see us getting in the top half, because Leeds have met the challenge of tough fixtures. We've dilly and dallied with, you know, games against the lower half, so what are we going to do against the top guys? But this Everton result was really, and performance more importantly, was a, you know, a real statement that actually, you know, Smith might, it might turn out to be true to his word. And if he does finish stronger, and it's not necessarily, you're not playing teams that will be playing at the level of where they are in the league, because suddenly the appetite to play, there'll be players, the better players will be thinking about the Euros if their team hasn't got anything to play for now.
And certain teams have sort of cup finals, don't they? They've got other priorities that maybe a game against Villa isn't necessarily, you know, because the title's wrapped up, isn't it?
Well, that's what already. I was about to say. Yeah, most of the business is done.
Bar fourth position.
Yeah, in terms of the Premier League, most of the business is done. So a lot of these teams are going through the motion. So if Smith can somehow motivate his team to actually take these games seriously and have a bit of intent, then you if you get performances, well, like the approach really going in, you know, against Everton, if you match that in every game until the end, then hopefully we'll pick up some points and finish in that top half, which will be a symbolic achievement for the season.
I think so. I mean, in terms of moving forward to United, I mean, it's a tough one to know whether it's a good time or not to play them. I think it would have been better to maybe play them midweek next week, where they've had a couple of those Premier League games. You know, they obviously play, it's 3 in 5 days, isn't it, now, where they've obviously got Villa, Leicester, then Liverpool. You're thinking you'd rather be Liverpool and Leicester at the moment, having had, you know, their European semi-final on the Thursday night, go to Villa Park on Sunday, but at least they can recover and they manage to rotate in Rome. But they you would think they'll still play a strong side at Villa Park.
Don't we have a bit of a poor record against teams that have played on Thursday?
Apparently so, yeah.
Yeah. In the Europa League, we're not too sharp when it comes to that, when you think you would have a huge advantage. But I think if Villa apply the same intent, because they'll have a bit more freshness, shall we say. I mean, obviously United will rotate a little bit and they have got a bit of depth in key areas. But it's kind of like those Liverpool and Manchester City games where there was an opportunity there, certainly, to get a point in both of those games. Against Liverpool, it was only an injury time they got the winner. Against Manchester City, we did find ourselves, after going a goal down, but we did have a whole half against 10 men and a bit of rashness from Cash. You know,
I think it's good to go into this one with a bit of confidence as well. And a little bit of bounce.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to Amazon.com/sports ad free. That's Amazon.com/sports ad free to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Picture the scene. All of your mates around, you've got your McNugget share boxes ready to go. Partner this with your team playing champagne football. Perfect. Order McDelivery now on the McDonald's app. There's nothing quite like a McDelivery. At participating restaurants, 18 plus, serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
I mean, I would rather, you know, you're talking about which order you'd rather be playing United, but I'd rather play United this week than playing them last week.
Oh, yeah. Yeah,
because you've got that confidence of what happened against Everton, which will it'll be a big deal because, you know, let's face it, Villa have not been ticking all the boxes in this year so far. So there'll be a lot more belief there. And, you know, Ollie Watkins' interview, as we mentioned in the main show, where he's talking about, they're talking about how they wanted to be a bit more gradual and constructive in their approach play rather than, I think the word he used was gung-ho. And I remember at Old Trafford in that 2-2, we were pretty methodical in our approach play then and had, you know, most of the play in the early patches, and we were dominating United then. And, you know, that just shows you if they're playing with their heads rather than just almost treating it a bit like a hot potato, because they have squandered possession so many times, like super cheaply. But this was a lot more measured against Everton. So I think it certainly gives us more of a hope going into this United game.
I think so. You've got to be hopeful.
Right. In this section, we want to bring two little segments in to end it. I mean, this is just literally a quick catch-up and focus for the weekend. So we're going to call one section, it's more like a little preview. I mean, I don't really like doing previews because they're dead as soon as the game kicks off. But let's do something that we'll provisionally call Fat Stat on our opponents, Manchester United. Actually, we normally do one stat, but there's so many stats here which are really under one headline, which is, first of all, Manchester United's form. I mean, you normally judge form in the last six games, and if that's the case, Manchester United are top of the form table for the Premier League with 5 wins and 1 draw. Then, if you want to talk about form, continue talking about form, they're unbeaten away the whole of this season. It's not looking good for Villa at the moment.
They're due one. They're due one, David.
Throw in that next one.
What, the
Man United? The one that you dug up, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I mean,
Anything else just to add to that?
Yeah, to put it in wider context, the last time Villa beat Man United at home.
No. Manchester United lost just one Premier League game. Yeah.
Man United have actually lost just one match in their last 27 fixtures. So they're on a crazy run of form.
I don't feel like they're in like amazing form. Maybe I'm just not paying attention.
Maybe it's because Man City have been so much better and the stories have been elsewhere. They've almost, dare I say, quietly gone about their business.
Under the radar.
Relatively, yeah.
Which what we were trying to do at the start of the season.
Yeah.
Anything else?
Well, I mean, the last time we beat them at home in the Premier League, pubs in England were only just being permitted to remain open throughout a Sunday afternoon. First time ever. It's been that long. August 95.
Yeah, so the fat stats on Manchester United don't look good. I'm just going to try to kind of ring out something positive. Looking at their last six away games, so in terms of their away form, they have only won 2 of their last 6 away games in the league. 4 draws, obviously, because they are unbeaten away. So there's a chance there. I mean, as I said, against Manchester City and Liverpool, there was a point on the table for us to take there. So if we can get a point out of this game, I think that's kind of fair game. I mean, I don't normally say that, but against United, you've got to win. And so the focus is here. I think there is a hope here because they have got congestion.
Yeah.
They have suddenly got a focus of winning a trophy.
And they've got games against the teams around them on the horizon as well.
Yeah, but once you get into a cup final, they've qualified for the Champions League. So that becomes the main thing for the players. I remember, you know, when speaking of United, when Villa got to the final against Manchester United in the 94 League Cup final, Villa's focus on the league, I mean, it was almost comical. A lot of Villa fans were only going, the ones that weren't season ticket holders, were only going to those games to pick up vouchers, to pick up programmes, to get the vouchers, to obviously stick them in to get tickets for the final, and because we wouldn't be going to watch Villa win because they were just shambolic and because the players were all focused on Wembley. So hopefully United will have a bit of that. Thinking about that wonderful Europa League Cup final they've got to play. Right, we'll finish these Something for the Weekend shows with a burning question. These burning questions come from the questions of the Mad Few. We've done a Mad Few, actually did quite a big session, so it might be a two-part, two Mad Few sessions this month as extra podcasts on the My Old Man Said Patreon podcast channel, which you get access to if you join as a mom's patron. You also get access to Match Club, which is our match day gathering. Actually, that should be quite a good one against Manchester United.
It will be good.
Always good fun.
It definitely was the last time round.
Sometimes there's after parties. The last Match Club against Everton, Chris was doing after parties till almost midnight, I think. So
got lively. The Norwegians put in a sterling performance.
Drunk, I'm guessing.
That's pretty much the best way of calling it.
So please do, if you're interested in joining Match Club, getting access to the Mad Few podcasts and also supporting the show, please do go to myoldmansaid.com, click on the patron link on the menu bar and get full information there. So just a short, snappy one. One of the Mad Few questions, which features, we've answered it in a different way with Phil Shaw in that one, but we'll just do it again. Phil Hood asks, which Villa player will make the bigger impact at Euro 2020, Grealish or McGinn?
Well, you'd think McGinn's probably the first name on the team sheet for Scotland, isn't he? So you'd think he's going to play all of three matches for them.
I think it's interesting that this is probably the first time we've mentioned the Euros in terms of talking about them, because it seems to be quite muted at the moment. It's almost like people don't even know where the games are going to be played unless you've kind of got a ticket and you've been tracking it. I suppose, you know, with the whole pandemic and everything, it's like, well, we'll focus on the Euros when they actually turn up.
I certainly feel like that. It kind of still feels a relatively long way away, even though it's obviously not. I'm just
but
not
to
that
answer,
bothered.
Yeah, to answer Phil's question, the thing about when you read the updates on Grealish's injury and then you look at the fan comments, you know, whether it's on Twitter or Facebook or whatever, it's like they're saying, oh, good, the club are resting him for England. You know, they're saving him for England. And you're thinking, I don't think it works like that. I don't think Aston Villa play Grealish's wages so they can be his nurse to get him ready for England. They pay his wages. That's the bottom line. So
they want him in the first team.
And also, you know, because every place you finish in the league, you get more money. And if you finish higher up, it's obviously more of an attractive position to attract new players and also, you know, keep Grealish for those that are still paranoid about losing him. But you want him playing. I mean, actually, he hasn't played the last 12 games. So he's actually useless to Villa at the moment because he's not playing. I mean, if you boil it down, that is the situation. And if you're an England manager, you want to see him play games because it's not really fair to pick him over somebody else who's, you know, ripping it up and actually playing games. Because we're not talking about Grealish missing one or two games here. We're talking about long-term injury. So he's going to need games to get back. So the best thing for England is him to play for Villa.
And to play well for Villa.
In a good chunk of games. He's not a starter, is he, at this moment? He hasn't earned that role.
Certainly not a guaranteed starter, I don't think.
No, exactly. He's not like guaranteed first 11. That's what I'm talking about. So he needs to still persuade Southgate that he should be on, you know, he should be in the first 11. So, it's in his interest, it's in Villa's interest, it's in England's interest for Grealish to be playing from the off. So that is why, as you alluded to at the start, I think McGinn seems to give 110% for Scotland. He'll be in the mix.
I think he knows he has to as well, doesn't he? If he doesn't play well, Scotland don't tend to.
I think the teams in the group, it's not as if you've got world beaters that will slay Scotland and blow them away. So they will be in games and McGinn will kind of thrive in that position. So this is a real chance to make a name for himself, really.
I mean, I think so.
Can Scotland get through that group?
Maybe.
I mean, I've seen it before with Ireland going back.
Stranger things have happened.
Going back a few decades, if they put in the commitment and other teams don't match them for that commitment, then there could be a few surprises, especially, you know, in the first game. If they pick up points and stay alive, who knows? So, yeah, I would. The safe money would be on McGinn to make more of an impact. I mean, for the fun of it all, you want McGinn versus Grealish.
Yeah, you do. It'd be great fun to watch.
In the England-Scotland game, I mean, it suddenly becomes a match for all villains to look forward to if you're not looking forward to it already.
Yeah.
Of all players going into the tournament, I would put McGinn in the top 10 to make an impact because he's the main man of he's their main man, is he not?
Yeah, pretty much. Him and Robertson, you just said.
I mean, in terms of, because he's playing more forward, he's got more of a license to, let's say, get the headlines to make an impact. So,
yeah, if I was a gambling man, I'd maybe put a bit of money on McGinn scoring against England.
Would you?
Yeah. With our defensive woes.
Especially if Mings is playing. Sorry, that's a joke. Right, I think that's an end to this episode of Something for the Weekend. As we said, it's just a quick blast to set up the Villa weekend. And please do join us for the next main show, which we will record after, hopefully, what will be a momentous occasion.
History-defining victory.
Yeah, a momentous history-defining occasion, beating Manchester United at Villa Park. Unfortunately, there's no fans to witness it, but fans will return to Villa Park, touch wood, by the end of season, and then hopefully en masse next season. Until that glorious day, it's goodbye from me, and it's goodbye from him.
Goodbye.
Away days are great, but there's nothing quite like playing at home. The same goes for McDonald's. Maximize your home ground advantage with McDelivery. Order now on the McDonald's app. At participating restaurants, 18 plus serving times, delivery fee and terms apply. See mcdonalds.com.
Tired of ads interfering with your favorite sports podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Stay ahead of the game by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/sportsadfree. That's amazon.com/sportsadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
This podcast is proud to be part of the TalkSport Fan Network. TalkSport. Powered by fans.